I had a big dinner. F.A. Paid. Super Bowl.
Oh, it's began, huh? You started the transition.
I've completely skipped having to pay. It's transition to F.A. F.A.'s like, no, I got transition this, J-Bill. I was like, no, I got it. F.A.'s like, no. I was like, okay.
As a winner, bro. You are a winner.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Jason and OC podcast. I almost kicked something very valuable on that floor right there. Can we talk about those?
In a minute.
In a minute? Yeah. It's a good story behind that. We got our man, F.A. He's under contract to hang with us until he... which is good.
We only he's allowed to have an opinion.
I'm allowed to.
And he's allowed to have an opinion. Allowed to have an opinion, and we're happy that you are here with us. Change location. We needed more room. How you feel about that?
I like it. I love the location. We need to get some Washington Commanders jerseys up here. Some FL by the jerseys. I don't understand this.
Nobody really is worried about that.
Yeah. And there's not a lot of UK, athletes being represented there. Yeah. What's going on here?
Yeah. It's interesting. It's interesting you would say that. I think, seeing as you have like a room
with your face on it.
I knew that was coming. Really interesting. You see, that's the problem, man. Everybody's worried about the small stuff. But the big stuff...
I'm referring to some OC jerseys, some Jason jerseys. That's what I was talking about. You know?
They don't claim me out here, bro. They don't claim me.
Now, you're both fashionable men, okay? Let's just be honest. Into fashion, no fashion. No high fashion at that. So there's a brand of jeans I wear.
Okay.
Been wearing them for years. Like them. Wear all of them. But they came up with these like eco-friendly jeans. Basically,
what does that mean?
Hear me out. Just don't ask me to spell anything. Yeah. Basically, like when you throw jeans away, right? They got buttons, they got stuff. It takes a long time to break down, supposedly. These jeans, like the zipper comes out easy, like you can cut it out, you can take things off, and then I think it becomes biodegradable. Somewhat, right? It breaks down easily. Cool, right? Guess what I'm finding out?
What's that?
They break down on you too you're wearing them.
Okay. On you. Okay. So what happened?
Put my hand in my pocket a little too aggressively. The pocket's tearing.
Gotcha.
It's opening up.
Yeah.
As I rub my jeans like this,
it's coming off.
It's like.
Are you sure you brought you the correct?
Bro, they break.
Are they the right ones?
Bro, they break down, but they break down on you.
Really?
Man, my pH levels must be off of something.
Sound like you bought some Nigerian jeans. That's great. Sound like you bought you some eco-friendly. Sound like my brother said, hey, Jason, I have some eco-friendly jeans.
Oh my gosh.
This is real, bro. Like as I rub my hands, I come up, I got like fabric, pockets falling apart. Wow. I'm waiting for the zipper to bust while I'm on the tube and I'm just going to deal with it and roll with it. You know what I'm saying? It's good for the environment.
There's another thing I wanted to ask you now that you're here, actually.
What's that?
And I wanted to get your opinion on this because I think you and I, we share a very similar background, right? In a lot of ways. I don't know how long ago it was, Jason, maybe two, three years ago, we had a conversation on TV and it was about kneeling. Right? You remember that?
Oh, yeah. Oh, that was a long time ago.
Maybe even longer than that.
When it had, like the beginning.
Was it the beginning or somewhere? Anyway, we had the conversation, right? You nervous? You looking nervous?
I'm not nervous. Okay. Remember, I'm still a player.
Definitely. So Jason gave his opinion, right?
Yes.
Outstanding, very eloquently put. But he spoke as an American.
Right.
I gave my opinion from a different culture, different country. And here's exactly what I said. I said, I understand what they're doing. I understand why they do it. And I agree with it. But I left my country, Nigeria, knowing full well what was going on in America in regards to discrimination against black people, right? And I ran towards that.
Right.
And all of us, most of us, wants to come there knowing what's going on there, right?
Right.
So imagine how things are where we're coming from, where we see this as the better option, right? And so the United States of America, which sold all these dreams, right? When I came there, it actually delivered upon those dreams, right? And so knowing that, but also understanding their struggle, their plight, I can't go to that country and stop protesting. It'll make me a hypocrite, me. And so while I understand and I completely appreciate and acknowledge it, coming from where I come from and knowing I left my country to come to this country to protest there would be hypocritical of me and I could not do it. What would you do in that situation?
Like you said, we do share a lot of similarities in our journeys. I personally don't think it's hypocritical. I understand that at that time it was, for me at that time, it was very difficult. You know, like I didn't feel like I had a voice initially just because I was in the NFL. You know, just because this was a conversation that was happening way before Kaepernick kneeled down. It's something that obviously I was aware of. Coming from London and Nigeria, like we don't have that culture. We don't have the gun culture. We don't have that ingrained thing. But at the same time, I was very insulated because of my sport from it. You were definitely one of the most fortunate people that that American dream delivered on. Like, a lot of people don't get to experience that. For the vast majority, their experience is that of discrimination, of struggle, of hardship, of an unfair system, of institutional, all of that stuff. So I feel like, but I protest. I went out there and I marched because I feel like it wasn't, it was deeper than just the region and the area in which that that was happening. It was skin color, it was discrimination. It was something that, it was human. It was something that happened to another human, you know, and we needed to change that. We needed to shed a light on this. And, you know, these things were constantly happening. It's only because someone pulled out their phone that was able to capture that moment and show the world that, listen, this is what's happening, you know? And I feel like that would have a ripple effect, you know? Take something totally different, like the Damar Hamlin, him falling down on the field, getting hurt on the field and passing out, you know, that galvanized and brought people together and, you know, because it was human, you know? So I just, you have to take the fact that you have to take the where I'm from and my journey. This is something that is wrong, full stop. I don't support it, whether it be in America, whether it be in Nigeria, you know, politics in Nigeria, just, you know, being corrupt and all that stuff, that is wrong. England has its own, you know, devils. It, like, you know, there's devil you know, devil you don't. They have, England has its own problem. China has its own problems. Regardless, if you're going to be a part of that system, if you're going to be a part of that and benefit from that system, you should also, you know, use your platform, use what it's given you to be able to affect change for the greater good and be able to protest regardless. And I felt like I didn't have a voice. I'm English, like what am I gonna say? Like, you know, it just didn't, and I'm Nigerian as well. So I didn't share that same like history as Americans, but on a humanistic level, it tugged at me, it made me emotional, it made me cry, it made me feel, because in their eyes, whilst I'm there, you're seen. You know what I mean? It doesn't matter how much money you have or jewelry, or how elegant you speak, you are seen as that. So you need to be able to affect change in that way. So I will protest regardless where I'm in America, English, Nigeria, or whatever, because it's human. And that's the way I looked at it, as a human.
That's outstanding, Effie.
Yeah.
Well said.
Thank you.
Do you feel like, because you kind of, your response made me think more in depth about how I felt about it. Because when OC finished, I remember that whole, I remember vividly. And OC's opinion and the way he sees the world, it challenges me in a way where I have to revisit my thoughts, which I enjoy. And I usually go away, think about it, come back and be like, hey man, you know, this is what I thought about what you said. And I enjoy that. And the first thing I thought was, okay, I love politics and I'm into politics out here. I have an opinion, I don't have a problem. And I think it's because what OC's saying, he has an opinion. I'm breaking it down to this simple terms. he has an opinion of what's happening. Mm-hmm. He doesn't have a problem because you went there. Mm-hmm. You're there and you don't have a problem because you came to the problem. Mm-hmm. And even in here, I have an opinion, but I don't have a problem.
Can I say something on that?
Let me finish.
Okay, go on.
But in listening to you, I thought, but why? Maybe I should voice my opinion more. Maybe I, because of what you said about being in a position of power, mm-hmm. having a platform, mm-hmm. humans throughout the world going through battles, we need numbers. We need people. So don't be so, for me, intimidated that I'm in this country and I'm a visitor and I want to be here, that I can't do that.
Right.
So that mm-hmm. after when you finished talking, I thought it challenged me right. in the way I'm thinking about it, because I'm a little more nervous and skeptical because I've come here. I want right. to be here. I'm not saying I have a problem here. Right. I'm just saying.
Right.
It made me rethink that.
It's like, I'll take an example. Say you go to a country that has a high rate of, you know, child adoption, and you're there and you witness someone trying to kidnap a child. Because you're not from there, you're saying that you won't intervene right. or try to,
yeah.
you know, uh-huh. or if the fact that OCU is very insulated. So if something, God forbid, horrible happened to someone that you cared about, a loved one, a son, or in that situation with someone in your family, I guarantee you, God, you wouldn't have that same outlook on it because it's so close to home, because it's so far from you right now. You can have that perception of, well, you don't think.
I think that is a false equivalency.
You don't think so?
It's not that. It's my outlook on life mm-hmm. and my outlook on things are completely different, right? Mm-hmm. You heard of Ansars mm-hmm. in Nigeria, mm-hmm. right?
What is
police brutality?
Right.
Oh, is that the couple of years ago. Right?
Exactly.
Yes. Ansars, I forgot the name right? of it. Yes.
Just saw what happened
yes,
in France.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. Yes.
Recently.
Yes. Got it.
They got the favelas in Brazil mm-hmm. where they're doing the same thing. Right?
Right.
So what I've seen, mm-hmm. right, mm-hmm. is a human problem.
Right.
That's what I've seen.
Right.
I don't necessarily think, speaking of capitalism, I'm of the firm belief that capitalism itself has eaten away at racism.
Okay.
And now it's created classism. So mm-hmm. now you have classes of people.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to before.
Classism before you had racism.
Yeah, 100%. But I think now it's a lot more prevalent. Now, classism is more prevalent to me than racism. Now, the reason why it manifests itself as racism is because for the most part, black people are poor.
Mm-hmm.
And it manifests itself that way.
Mm-hmm.
And so, which is why you see different levels of people. You see maybe doctors or lawyers and you know, maybe athletes or whatever who are black. They don't face the same level of discrimination as poor black people. That's just a fact. We talk about, you know, black players in sports or whatever.
Black quarterbacks.
Are they not the highest paid players in the league?
They're getting there, but I feel like
they're the highest paid players in the league.
Yes.
Okay. But there's racism.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So how are they the highest paid players in the league? It's white people in the league too,
right.
no?
Right.
How are they the highest paid players in the league?
I don't feel like they had to go through the same process or in trying to earn what their value as a white player would of the same talent.
Explain.
I feel like, just take the Lamar Jackson situation, mm-hmm. for example. I feel like, you know, so there have been lesser, in my opinion, and obviously in a lot of people's opinions, a lesser athlete that's been compensated with ease. We're not going to put it down to their skin, but I'm just saying that it's a factor that a lot of people have noticed. And he doesn't look like the typical franchise face.
They told the man he wasn't a quarterback.
Exactly. Yeah. You know,
So you don't think the best minds in the league told him he wasn't a quarterback. You don't think it has anything to do with his performance as a player?
No.
You don't think so?
No.
We don't think so.
That he made his money?
No.
Sorry, what's the question? That he didn't immediately get
the amount of money that he was supposed to. You think it had nothing to do with
his draft status then?
No, not his draft status. We're talking about him getting paid. That's what we're talking about. You don't think it had anything to do with him not getting paid immediately, his performance as a player in the playoffs or any of that? No? It's just
the reason it took so long to get his contract done?
I don't think so.
Oh no.
And the man who we have in Cleveland, the first guy with the fully guaranteed contract of $230-240 million, what is he?
Yeah.
I don't understand that one.
When you look at Lamar, okay, got the contract, got paid, all that. And it's not about him, but it's about players under this circumstances and wherever players, people you work with, whatever. How many games does he miss a year? Because he's sick.
He's missed
or something, right? He misses a lot.
A few.
Big games, right? Mm. And you know, whether you are, you know, running a Fortune 500 company or me and you got to go out and do a live game, which I've seen you come in off a deathbed, next to me. You expect, like, on your team, those people to show up.
Right.
Now, things happen, right? You could be hurt, whatever. But if the way you live, like, your lifestyle choices keep you from doing that, and you see it, I'm the top corner. You see me. I'm missing games because I'm sick. And you see me out there. You know, I like some wine. I like some tequila. You see me getting after it. And you like, Jay Bell, man, you're not doing what you're supposed to do to get on the field. And it's hurting us. How do you feel about that? Like, what is your opinion? Like, how do you, because we don't like judging people. We don't like watching them.
Right.
But yet you're impacting us. And you're missing opportunities to get out there for us to win, for us to be this team, whatever, we're all making sacrifice, but you're not doing, just like missing treatment.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Because this happens all year. We know dudes like this. What's your opinion on that?
I think there's two things, right? Eventually, that lifestyle will catch up to you and ultimately it will be detrimental for your career. And it, you know, it doesn't just become a problem for the team, it'll just become a problem for you. But I think in the moment, you know, in season, if I'm witnessing that and I'm invested and it's, you're a key component of the team and you're not taking it seriously, obviously the powers that may be, coaches, whatever, they will address it however they want to address it. But myself, like, I would address it as well. Like, I would talk
you to, call them out.
I'll call you out. Like, I'll
how you gonna call out a star?
I'm lucky enough, I've been in this for a really long time, so, and to me they're just people. I have that emotional bandwidth to be able to explain maturely, like, you know, I'm probably one of the vet, I'm a vet in most locker rooms at this point.
General.
So
would you call out Tom Brady?
Would I call out Tom? But then Tom Brady wouldn't be Tom Brady.
I'm just using an example. I know it's a tough one. I'm just saying somebody of that caliber.
But then that's what I'm saying. It wouldn't be anyone of that caliber because their actions wouldn't reflect.
Mm. Yeah,
wouldn't reflect that. It would be someone that's been given the opportunity that isn't making the most of it.
And what if he's balling on the field? They're balling, bro. When they're there, they're balling.
But then it is an issue then.
They're not available because of what they're doing off the field you think might have an impact of their availability.
Mm. So ultimately, it all depends. Injury-based, things like that, you can't really come at them.
Yeah.
If they are...
Or can you, though?
You can advise them on how to look after their body and your routine and in terms of keeping yourself healthy.
Yeah.
But I don't think you can come out at them. I'm trying to think of a situation in which your example, it would make sense for me to approach someone. Because it's such a broad scope, right?
We'll never really know.
You wouldn't know. But if I feel like, okay.
That's what makes it so difficult.
But say they're showing up and they're not performing or they're not giving their best and they're impacting, they're making wrong decisions, then I would, you know, it's a very passionate game, even in the moment. Yeah. I've seen players, you know, go off on other players.
Well, I'm being real specific on this. Like, everything on the field is go time.
Right.
It's just whatever they're doing off, they're not available because they're eating bad,
right,
or whatever, like, right, that kind of stuff. Like, they practice hard, they do everything.
Right.
And I just thought about it because you hear this stuff, the whispers about Lamar.
Right.
And two games a year, illness. And,
right,
and nobody's come out and said this, but they question what he does off the field.
Right.
I don't know if it's true.
Mm.
I'm just saying, I don't know how I would handle that. I don't think when I played,
right,
I like,
You was
OC was the second person in the building.
Right.
Stray, early, work. These dudes grind, our quarterback. Mm. I've been on a team, another team, where my quarterback was the first person in the car after practice.
Mm, right.
So when he's messing up, you're looking at him, you're like,
you ain't putting in the work.
You're not putting in the work.
But I didn't say nothing and couldn't because I'm like, bro, I can't. What am I?
Say nothing to that kind of.
What am I going to do? Like, I don't have the power.
And you don't know it, but they could also be going somewhere else to train. You don't know what they do at home. You don't know what they.
I've never seen a quarterback leave, be the first one out the building.
Mm. Okay. Yeah.
You know, something happened to me this on Sunday. You know how you can learn things from anything?
what happened to you?
You know how you can learn things from anything? I learned something just this Sunday.
What did you learn?
You guys,
where were you?
I'm playing basketball.
Okay. Oh, why are you playing? Your knees are just something else.
Yeah. I'm like, listen, I'm going to, I want it to be like where I'm either playing soccer or I'm playing basketball and everything just goes and I'm done. That's how I want it to happen.
Stop.
I don't want it to be like.
You don't want to grab
as long as, I have juice, I'm going to be out there.
You want it to have.
I just want it to completes.
I can't.
And I'm going to do this. I'm going to play soccer and basketball until I literally cannot do it anymore.
Do you want a video record of that moment?
Oh, man. Listen. on tape, you're like, this is how.
This
is when it happened. This is when it finished for him.
Yeah.
But okay,
you're
so
sick.
I am. So I'm on the court. We play basketball now on Sundays. It's 15 people, three teams of five, okay. Right? And so I get to the basketball court, and for some reason, I'm 1 minute late, right? Mm-hmm. Start at 9, I get there at 9:01. Mm-hmm. So now I have you don't get to pick who your teammates are, right?
No, you gotta
rock with with who's there, right? So my team, the last five, obviously, you know, these are the guys who maybe went out drinking last night, the scragglers, right? Scragglers.
This isn't your first choice.
Yeah, as one good player, three I'm talking about just.
They trying to detox.
Oh my goodness gracious. And I know them because I played there a couple of weeks now.
You know they
and
skill
I'm like,
though.
Oh my God, I got these guys on my team. But you know, we're competitors. So we're trying to, no matter what we're doing, we're trying to win.
Of course.
I can't.
I get out there on the court with these five guys. Game to seven, first game. We get absolutely smacked, right? I'm talking about absolutely smacked.
Yeah.
Didn't know what was going on out there. Second game, we go out there again. Because it's winner stays on, right? Second game, we go out there, 7-0. They smacked us again. Like, complete obliteration. I'm walking off the court now, and I am hot. Don't ask me why I take this so personal. I'm hot, right? So I'm walking off the court, and as the other group are coming on, I say to them, I'm like,
I know you're so
this,
mad.
This is some nonsense, man. We got to switch up teams.
Yeah.
I said that to them,
no,
right? And as soon as I got to the bench area, mm-hmm. I caught myself.
Okay.
I caught myself.
Yeah.
I said, man, I'm being a little.
You want to win though.
Yeah. But I said it to myself. I said, I'm being a little. You know?
Yeah.
This is what a would do.
Yeah,
you would. I said,
it's
what?
It's their fault.
Yeah. I was like, you know what? I gathered everybody around. I was like, come around. This is what we're going to do, right? Mm-hmm. Defensively, we couldn't stop anybody.
Right.
Because the guys were just couldn't stop anybody.
It's
right?
Funny how you evaluated the game quickly.
Boom. I was like, okay, here's what we're going to do, right? I was like, come around. We're going to run a 2-3 zone. This is what we're going to do here, right? The two guys who couldn't really move too much, we're going to put you on the wings.
Yeah. Ain't nobody
shooting
out there.
The two guys who can run here, you guys are going to go out. I'm going to sit in the middle. We're going to run a 2-3 zone every single time.
That's it.
And they were like, I was like, okay, that's exactly what we're going to do. 2-3 zone. This is what we're going to do. Go out there, right? First game we play, we beat the team that just beat us 7-1. We beat them 7-0. They couldn't score. I swear to God. They couldn't score a point. Not 1 point.
Coach OC.
And they're looking around, right? Because it's rec league, they didn't quite understand what we were doing. They didn't know what was going on.
Like man to man.
Right.
I got him.
I'm not exaggerating. We stayed on the courts six straight games. Oh, they was. We didn't lose a game. And not only did we not lose.
Was you in there shacking?
It wasn't, bro, all of that. It wasn't even close, right? Yeah. And so after that, like I remember leaving and the guy, one of the guys, the other good player, his name was Saeed. Mm-hmm. He was like, that was amazing. He felt so good, right? And when I left the court, I was like, you know what? I learned something today.
F.A., I got something. What was I got that? Something.
I
you
learned something.
You're going to like this.
What was the lesson?
You're going to like
it's
this.
It's easy. It's like if you organize, yeah. right? You bring people together, you right. organize, you're like, okay, no, we're going to do this. We're going to do this. You can overcome. We're athletes, right? We're all athletes, right?
Right.
And so we never really, I don't think we rate strategy and coaching as highly as it is.
Yes, we do.
No, we do. But to me, it was only at that moment that okay. I realized, okay. I was like, you know,
right.
with the right coach. Right?
I agree.
With the right coach.
I agree.
And I couldn't stop thinking about that. I wondered to myself, I was like, I wonder how many times I've said to myself, this is, when all I really had to do was just be like, you know what? Hey, listen, and it's universal. It applies everywhere. Mm-hmm. Like there's things going on everywhere where if you just organize yeah. and put the right people at the right place, you're gonna win.
Well, it might not even be the right people at the right place. It was just what was best for that situation.
Yeah.
You see, your capitalistic mind wouldn't have did that.
No.
You would have just got rid of them. Because pure capitalism says it's cutthroat.
Yes.
But what you did was you had a form of social welfare because what you did
yes.
was you said, these are the components
this is what
I'm working
we have.
With. This
yes.
is what I have.
Mm-hmm.
I can be a greedy, grubby cow.
Grubby little
yes.
ass. Yes.
But I'm going to take what I have and I'm going to be a leader.
Mm.
We don't pick the strongest. We pick the person who has the best thought for us as a collective.
Mm-hmm.
Do they think about us?
Yes.
You thought about them.
Yes.
You stopped thinking about yourself.
Mm.
You stopped thinking about pure capitalism.
Mm.
You did what was right for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And you won seven times in a row.
What is that? What is that supposed to be, a mic drop?
I'm just saying.
What is that supposed to be?
I knew F.A. was going.
I'm just saying. No, J-Bo, I'm going to let you have that moment.
I'm just saying. We had a lot of conversations.
I'm going to allow you to have that moment, man.
But at O.C.'s core, who he is a man of the people. And he cares about people.
100%.
Over profit.
1,000%. 1,000%.
Now I'm going to read this thing that Simon, let me tell you what happened. We're in a debate, but I'm trying to figure out what you're saying because I know you were going somewhere.
Mm.
I'm trying to get it. And Simon in the corner, Simon thinks he's slick.
Yeah.
I love him to death. I know his technique.
Yeah.
His technique, wrap it up, is.
Just little passive aggressive. Passive aggressive.
I've been doing this with him for years.
Yeah.
And he's over here. He don't even look in the camera.
Yeah.
That's what Chris does.
Right.
That's what Will
does.
That's
his job.
And he's over next to me.
Yeah, doing that.
Then I say, what, son?
What do you mean? What?
Bruh, I know you just like you know me. Like you want me to wrap it up. I'm not wrapping it up. I'm talking to OC and FA right now. And he tries to be innocent.
Mm.
That's what happened.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
Now.
Yeah.
Ask OC, ask J Bell. Do we even have time for this? Yes, we do. Mr. Johnny asked, if OC Michael Strahan, Justin Tuck, and David Tollefson had retired at the same time, who would have had the most sacks? Wow.
Did we stop playing at the same time and retired at the same time?
That would be start and stop at the same time.
Yeah, Michael Strahan, 100%.
He would have?
Yeah, 100%. Michael was an absolute beast. Absolute beast.
He did. He would fight people on.
He was a monster. Now after that, after Strahan, it was me 1,000%. Nobody else is even in the conversation.
Yeah. Okay. No.
Strahan. Then there's me. There's like, you know, if like people are talking, if players are talking in the Giants hierarchy,
that's it.
There's only a couple of people who can be like, hey, OC, calm down, right? It's Strahan, there's LT, maybe Harry Carson.
Ooh,
everybody else has to listen to what I'm talking.
Hey,
they got to listen to me.
Your name is in the stadium.
Oh, yeah.
How many weeks after you retired?
Oh, it might have been two weeks. Yeah.
They didn't want you to come back.
No.
Capo asked, better 2023 for Rodgers Baker or Garoppolo? Because they all start on a new team. Interesting.
That's easy.
What you think, F.A.?
That's definitely Rodgers.
Yeah.
It's why simple. You think it's Rodgers?
I've seen. I get the behind the scenes.
You've seen the others.
I've seen the others.
So you think Garoppolo but at the Raiders with Josh McDaniels, mm-hmm. you don't have faith in that?
I do. I think he's second, you know, and then Baker's third, but definitely Rodgers just because of experience. He's leadership, his ability to galvanize a team. He's done it.
You think, where do you think he'll end in that division?
Oh, that's a good question.
This is what we're not thinking about.
Second?
He's in the AFC. He was mm-hmm. dominant in the NFC. He's in the AFC. Mm-hmm. He might be third in that division. Mm-hmm. Can they beat Miami? Can they beat the Bills? How are we coining him the best? I just don't see that.
Okay, so let's look at the other contender. We'll say the Raiders, right? You say that which division are they?
Oh, you just killed my point.
Yeah.
You just destroyed everything I was trying to say. So we'll go with FA. David 100. What is the one bit of advice you can give FA? Oh, no. Who is he asking?
Yeah, give me advice. I don't mind.
What is the one bit of advice you give F.A. or what does he ask you?
What?
Maybe that's to you, OC.
The one bit of advice I give F.A. Yeah. is get to that quarterback. That's where the money is. I like that. As you know, each sack is $1 million in F.A.'s pockets.
Stop saying that. What does he ask you to stop telling everybody about that $1 million?
Yeah, he's like, hey, don't tell people. They think I actually have $1 million in my pockets.
Yeah, he's crazy. What about you, Jason?
Also.
No, Jason, what advice would you give me?
Personal. It's always personal. my advice
keep
to you.
Keep being you.
Yeah.
Some generic.
It is. But it's true. It's the best advice. It is single-handedly some of the best advice I got from the man in the middle was encouraging me to continue to be myself.
Be yourself.
Not be anybody else. Not try to emulate anything. Be myself and be confident in that. And I have told you that, and you do it. So I'm a genius.
But it was strategic, though.
It was very strategic.
Why I told you that. It was strategic.
Very strategic. Yeah, and it's the same. It's like anything, you know, you give knowledge, you give. Mm. You gave me the same. Just like with you, you always talk about, you don't tell everybody all the tips and tricks to playing defensive end.
Can't do it.
It's not for everybody.
No, it's not.
They're not going to listen or they don't deserve
it. Yeah.
So it's easy with F.A. because he deserves all of it. Also, he said, when you go out, who pays? I had a big dinner. Mm. F.A. paid. Super Bowl.
Oh, it's began, huh? You started the transition.
I've completely skipped having to pay. It's transition to F.A. F.A.'s like, no, I got transition this, J-Bill. I was like, no, I got it. F.A.'s like, no. I was like, okay.
As a winner, bro. You are a winner. You know.
Bro.
You are a winner, J-Bill.
I've just supplemented income. F.A. is holding it down. When OC's not around. Till next time, appreciate y'all staying with us on this conversation. It's very insightful. This is what we do when we are just talking to each other. So we back on it. Off season's finest. Holla at y'all.